from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Feeling good. I just got a message from my middle son, Carter, who said he didn't throw up at practice today. And you know what? I think the thing I was most proud of is he went back at it. This morning, he was really sore.
That's true.
Kids never played this type of sports before, like been this aggressive with sports.
He's doing football.
Yes. Yeah. He's playing football. It's hot. It smells outside. Come on, it smells weird. It's humid. And he said, Dad, I don't want to go to practice today. And I said, hey, son, you know what the best thing to do for your soreness and your muscles is do it again. That's going to get the lactic acid flowing, get all that going and everything, and you're going to feel better. Next week, you won't feel sore anymore. So he's getting back out there, and he's doing that thing. I'm feeling good today, man.
Let's go to cut number 3. A week till cutdown day, will these Cowboys players make the 53-man roster?
Dallas 15, I'm ready. Lance under center. Hand it to Vaughn again. He escapes outside. First down 20, 25, 27. The deuce is loose.
Now, obviously, you'll probably still see some progressive cuts as we go along. You've already seen the Cowboys make some moves and everything like that, but you have a week until you got to get down to 53 players. And that's not the very end of it, because clearly you'll have a couple of people go on IR. We've talked about that. But like, that seems to be what people kind of focus in on in terms of like, hey, what is your roster going to look like? So you have a week to go until we get to the final cutdown day, or the sort of final cutdown day. I wanted to ask you maybe about a handful of players, or if anybody on the Twitch, the YouTube, Franklin Fan, text 877-881-1053, want to ask about any players, we're definitely here to answer some of those questions. I'm going to start with a running back. I think it's a yes. I believe Mickey does as well. Hunter Lipke, on the team or no?
Yes.
Okay.
They like to have a fullback.
They do.
Mike McCarthy knows how to use it. He understands in short yard situations. He can go to either him or Zeke if Zeke's going to be on the team. Do you think Zeke's going to be on the team?
Yes, okay. I do think Zeke will be on the team.
I've seen on Twitter that some people think he's washed, and there's at least one guy that's like, he's the best. I don't know what Broadus is talking about. I believe in Broadus. I'm just going to point that out.
Yeah.
Lipke's important to what Mike McCarthy wants to do. Plus, he can contribute on special teams.
That's an easy yes.
Deuce Vaughn.
No.
Because it feels like if Lipke makes the team, maybe you focus in on Royce Freeman. I'm not sure how people break that up.
Let me ask you guys this. I just said no quickly. We know that two running backs are on the team and a fullback. That leaves one spot. who's going to be the easiest to clear through waivers to get to the practice squad? Out of all the running backs that we're
about. I wonder about Malik Davis.
Okay, a little bit. So that's the one that I would say protect him. Okay. Put him on your 53. Deuce Vaughn is not a big special teams player for this organization. So when I look at my third running back or fourth running back, however you want to look at it, that guy probably needs to be a pretty big part of special teams. And I just think he's going to be easy to clear through waivers. I don't think, my opinion, I don't think there's five teams going, hey, let's just wait a week and Deuce Vaughn's going to get released and we can put him on our 53-man roster. So I don't think he will be, but I do think he'll be on the practice squad.
Ryan Flournoy, does he make the team?
And again,
the initial 53 in a week. I realize there'll be movings and shakings after that.
Do you think CeeDee Lamb's going to be a Cowboy?
Yes. I mean, he's still under contract either
Brandon
way.
Cooks, Jalen Tolbert.
Straight up, I'm hearing Ayuk for CeeDee Lamb, you know, and I'm just being really sarcastic and lying.
No way.
No, I don't know.
I think Flournoy is going to as a, he's had moments up and down, but he's a rookie. They spent a draft pick on him. I think he'll have an opportunity
What round was he?
Six.
Yeah,
he's Simi Fehoko.
But that being said, Simi Fehoko, like they were a little deeper at wide receiver when he was drafted, so they were able to stash him away. Flournoy, I don't think that they're as deep right now, so it's between probably him and Brooks.
I'm going to argue.
Even though I like Racy McMath.
This is where I'm going to go out on a limb when we're constructing the roster, and this might just go with my own personal observations and preferences thus far. I say Brooks makes it. I say Flournoy doesn't, and they go five wide receivers. I think they go short at that position, and I don't know if it's to add at safety or somewhere else, but that's what I would say. All right, Jalen Brooks then, because somebody just asked about Jalen Brooks. I say yes.
I think so too. But I don't know. Guess what?
We'll find
Barry
out.
Fish is listening.
Yes!
And maybe I'm one French fry short of a Happy Meal, as he says. But I'm going to go with Jalen. He says I'm short because I am not putting Deuce Vaughn on the 53.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to be on the practice squad. I just think he's going to be easy to clear through waivers.
He was driving, Kevin, so that's why he missed some stuff.
Peyton Hendershot.
No.
I don't think so either.
I think Stevens looks like he can make it. I think Schoonmaker, you don't spend that high of a draft pick and just move on. And Jake Ferguson's your starter, and I think you're good, pretty good. I think you could go with three, but they might they might like span forward more.
Okay.
But right now, Hendershot, something happened, dude.
Yeah.
Something happened from year one to now, and I'm not exactly certain what it is.
There's plenty of talk behind the scenes about that. I'm with you. All right, you just brought up Brevin Span Ford. Does he make the team? Because you brought up maybe, or maybe they go short at tight end. Maybe they like Princeton Fant. I think we've moved towards Brevin Span Ford. I say he does make the team.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give him a roster spot, Kevin.
Okay.
So right now we have three running backs. How many receivers?
We have
you went six.
I went five.
Okay. Five receivers.
That's right.
And four tight ends. Okay.
Dude, I just like the tight end group better than I like the wide receiver group in terms of that last spot. Like I like the idea of keeping Brevin Span Ford, I think, better than Ryan Flournoy.
You keeping Dak?
Yes.
What about Cooper Rush?
Yes.
And Lance?
Yes.
All right, so we got three QBs also.
All three.
I'm going to ask a silly question. Does it matter who the sixth receiver is? Like, does that ever matter when we get to week November, Thanksgiving? I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing this.
I think the way they'll say it is, like, I think I understand your question. I really do. I think the line of thinking would go, well, what if for some reason CeeDee Lamb didn't sign in time? Then you only have five. What if somebody got hurt? Now you're down to four. Like, that's my guess, but I understand your question for sure.
Would Miles Austin be the last, like, person that would have been brought up in this conversation in 2008, I guess, that we were like, should we keep him? Should we not keep him?
And
he ended up actually being a contributor in his career.
I'm going to think of it. There was one other person that I can...
Wayne McGarrity.
No, not Wayne McGarrity. There was another receiver that I remember having this conversation, and he...
LaRon Robinson.
I think that might, no.
I don't think so.
No, I can't remember who it was. Somebody help me out.
And he
did,
and he ended up doing something?
Yeah, and he ended up doing stuff. I'm not saying like change the world or anything.
For these people, this is life-changing.
Sure.
In that they get to make an NFL team. It doesn't mean they'll be on the team a whole year, but if you can be in the NFL for 3 years, now you qualify for pension. You've made, you know, maybe close to $2 million if you can last 3 years in the NFL. But I feel like... it's not that these players aren't good. In fact, they're spectacular. They get to be the top 1% of people that played college football to make a pro 53-man roster. But I just feel like 99% of the time, if I start doing something with Walter Pennington versus Harrison Garabito, Barry, I know I'm talking a little bit of baseball here, but like ultimately, how much does that matter? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
And so it's really tough. Like, will he or won't he? But then it's like, dang, will these people ever actually do anything that matters to a win or loss?
Kevin Ogletree, Noah Brown, Cole Beasley, Bryce Butler, Alvin Harper, Isaiah Standback.
Not Alvin Harper.
He's like the 17th overall pick in the draft.
Definitely not Alvin Harper. All right.
Smith was a first rounder, too, out of the Aggie land.
That's right. On the cornerback front, I think so, Andrew Booth. Because you made the swap for... hey, you don't like your guy. We don't like our guy. Let's go ahead and swap.
Kind of like Dennis Eckersley and
Jordan Lewis. Yeah, yeah.
Their wife thing.
I think I'm interested in the Booth thing because Kalen Carson's in. Like
I think Kalen Carson is in, but if y'all disagree.
And somebody's been texting in for the last 2 weeks. Y'all keep talking about Kalen Carson. He's going to ride the bench all season. You're probably right about that. But that's because your top three cornerbacks are very good. He might not make it onto the field.
Diggs, Bland, and Lewis.
I'm interested in Booth because Mukwamu's an interesting story because he can play both positions, but can he stay healthy? And then what Kamon Hall just did, I don't know, dude. What if he gets another pick six this week? Do you go, you know what, Andrew Booth, good luck.
Okay, so if I tell you Mukwamu, Scott, and Hall, do any of those people make the roster?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? I think six cornerback is way more important than six wide receiver.
I agree.
Me too.
They seem to end up having to play because of injury more.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, crap. He's going to be out there for
how much
help. I feel like at some point
if
during
you
the
lose
season,
one, you're like terrified.
We're like, how much help are we going to have to give this guy? And my gosh, if we get another guy hurt. And, you know, so I do feel like for some reason, the six cornerback does end up, unfortunately, having to play a critical role in a game or two.
Would that end up being Goodwin be just because of his special teams prowess then? Okay.
Yeah. He's on. Yeah, I think that's tough, man. That's a tough group to compete against right now. Eric Scott, has he had the interception?
He had a better camp last year, probably.
He got beat up a little bit in game one, and then in game two, it was like, oh, good job. So I'm kind of curious on that.
All right. Are there any other players that you have roster questions about?
Tyler Guyton.
Thus far? Yeah. Okay. Tyler Guyton is definitely on the roster. I mean, more fringy people that perhaps will not make the team.
Brock Hoffman.
Let alone will not start. Brock Hoffman is on the team. He might be your starting center.
He might
not
start. That's a fringe for him.
No.
It's between him and Cooper Beebe.
There
right
is
now.
No chance he's going to get cut, though.
You already have a center. No, I'm just joking, Kevin. He can play guard, too. That's another thing. The thing about Josh Ball
is... he's going to stay on this team,
Josh Ball's staying on the team.
Somehow.
And that's interesting because, like, the dude can play... He's playing guard, and he also can play tackle, which I don't... sweet Jesus, do not let him play tackle this year. But he can. Hopefully, you're good there. But he's looked good at guard.
I was listening to G-Bag Nation yesterday with guest Brian Broaddus. And Brian was saying this, the reason they are not showing Zeke at all in any type of physical whatever is they do not want us discussing him in this conversation.
Yeah, we had a conversation with him about that.
Oh, was that on our show?
That was on our show.
He was a special guest on our
show.
He
was a special guest on our show.
KNC Masterpiece. I can't remember what I'm listening to. I just know I was listening to The Fan.
But you really enjoyed it, and I think that's the key right there.
I remembered. I just forgot who he was talking to.
And then, of course, I saw we got tied into off of one of our podcasts, which, by the way, go listen to our podcast if you get the opportunity. that
do it now.
People got involved in a conversation, or at least one person in particular who's really upset with Broaddus for giving his opinion, which is what he's supposed to do.
I muted that conversation.
Barry Fish and I are cool now.
Look at
we're
y'all.
Like going to be buddies. We're texting each other on the YouTube. We're text buddies.
I can't see your messages.
I'm the sports card breakdown. Which
I probably
need to change my name to just Mike Bassett, because I was going to do like a YouTube channel called the Sports Card Breakdown, where like twice a week I'd talk about sports cards, but I'm stupid.
Cedric Wilson is who I was thinking of. So I thought Cedric Wilson was somebody who was like a more fringy type player. And then in 2021,
was it Sam Hurd?
He was good. No! It was Cedric Wilson.
I remember because he impressed me at one time during like some sort of exhibition. He blindfolded himself and was still able to catch football.
Sam Hurd?
No, Ced.
Oh,
Cedric.
Okay. Was it?
From the 817.
Kelvin I think Martin? He could see through the blindfold, though.
Do you guys have a live show at Globe Life tomorrow? Yes. Yes, we do. We'll be on from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And hey, we'll be at Specs right here off Central Expressway on Thursday.
Nobody knows what Central Expressway is.
75.
There we go. I like the numbers. We should
surely
we should,
if you live around here.
We need to come.
If I say LBJ, what do you think?
Lyndon B. Johnson. He was the president that took over after Kennedy was killed.
Right. And then...
don't think it's 635?
No, I don't. Tell me the number. I only know the numbers.
If I say Woodall Rogers...
That's a fake play.
I think it's real.
I think it's a short like strip between... it's really kind of a bridge.
The toll... I guess I go by the tollway. I just go by... Does the tollway have a number?
I think it's... I don't know. I think it's Dallas North.
I know
it
by 75.
Is one of them.
We gotta go, guys.
78.
We gotta
go. Oh my God, we're way over time.
We're the KNC masterpiece right
Barry,
here
I love
on
you,
105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Oh no.
A Blue Jays player blamed missing on Ohtani for their failed season. What's at fault for this lost Ranger season?
Oh, baseball.
877-881-1053. I might work in some football too next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And the 2-2. Swinging that one is hammered up the alley to deep right center field. It's not coming back. Ohtani leaves the yard on a blast. that clears by about six rows to a deep part of the yard.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I really like what a Blue Jays player said to go ahead and just talk about why the season didn't totally work out. So is there one thing you want to pinpoint, whether it's rational or irrational, about why the Rangers season has been a lost cause? So Chris Bassett, who you're probably familiar with, he said that the
Mike's brother.
He has two S's and two T's.
Gotcha.
He said, I don't want to identify the problems because some of the problems I don't think are fixable. The one thing I will say about the Blue Jays for this year, we put, I think, $700 million into Shohei Ohtani's basket and didn't get him. And we really didn't have a pivot. And so he's like, the second we didn't get Shohei Ohtani, that started to cause problems for our season. I wanted to know what is the moments most important that you think pivoted this season.
I know the exact moment that the season changed now. And I was talking about it this weekend. I was on the road trip and it started off good. They went to Kansas City and they won 2 out of 3. And we see that Kansas City obviously has improved as the season's gone along. They went to Oakland and they had that doubleheader day. And then they went to Colorado and got swept. And from that moment, the Rangers have never been the same. I believe they're like 22-17 and then got swept and couldn't score to save their lives in Colorado, the easiest place to hit in all of baseball. And I have not gone back and tracked, but I'm pretty sure I need to go back here. And I think from that moment that we didn't know at the time we saw the Rangers get swept in Cincinnati right. in 2023. And we're like, oh no, what happened to this team? And they were able to recover and play pretty good baseball the rest of the way and win the World Series. But from that moment in Colorado, things have gone like it. They never recovered. And I'm not saying they lost all their confidence or, but to me, if you're asking, when we keep looking for, hey, is there momentum created here? What about this moment? That moment in Colorado changed everything.
All right. So I'm going to throw out a different moment, but I understand the legitimacy of that. I think it's going to be the moment that you started to see Diamond Sports Group this year default on things or push the court case. And then that kind of threw your, well, we know it's not 110. Now it's going to be closer to 90. Now I don't know what the future holds. I'm going to go with that because I think that's led to a lot of the financial uncertainty on the field. Definitely understand where you're going with that, Mike. Yeah. I'm going to go with all of the uncertainty surrounding Diamond Sports Group.
And real quick, they were 22-17 going into that Colorado series.
Off the field?
Either way.
I'm going to go both here. I'm just telling you off the field first, Kevin. When they made Adolis Garcia a terrible offer and he took it and he accepted it and then pouted the rest of the season about it. That's just my thought on that off the field. Because he hasn't been the Adolis Garcia we know and love at all.
I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I just don't understand that line of thinking from Adolis. If their concern is we don't think you're consistent enough or we don't think you'll be consistent with money, so here's a little money, and his reaction to it is, then I'm going to have a terrible season. I think you're right, but I do think that kind of feeds into the Rangers' thought process of this is exactly what we thought would happen.
Kevin, you guys had the best ratings of your life, all right? The best ratings you've ever had. You had one full year of the best. We're going to sign you to a one-year deal that's a little bit more money instead of what we think that you deserve.
They gave him a two-year deal worth more money.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to sign you to a one-year deal that's just a little bit more than you're making. Are you happy about that?
No, but I still do my job because I'm a professional.
Or you go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean,
or you take the money and go
exactly. I don't think you take the money and then pout the entire time.
April 1st on the field. April 1st was when Josh Young got hit in the wrist. Now, I know that they had some wins and losses after that. And Mike, you're right. The L's stack up at after that Oakland series. You start looking at it. But I think the Josh Young moment, the broken wrist, changed everything because it brought doubt into everybody's mind. And they lacked what he brings. If Adolis wasn't going to bring that on his own, then Josh Young needed to be there to have him hyped up and everything too. And those two just didn't, Josh Jung not being there, the clubhouse lacked the energy that was necessary.
From the 972, but Garcia had a great April, and I think that kind of feeds into the Rangers' concerns. Garcia will show out. I'm not quite saying it's the Joey Gallo split, but Adolis Garcia will show out and be like, I can dominate, and then just go into these lengthy, lengthy slumps. And then from the 682, Haim and Tavares regressing. And the thing that I think we're going to learn as we get more and more of these answers, it is unfortunate that there are so many different answers. Although I guess it makes sense. In a season this disappointing,
yeah,
there's so many different answers that all feel like they have a level of viability to them.
Yeah, there's this small thing. I don't think it's a big thing, but Evan Carter was the favorite when we were in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. Evan Carter was the favorite to win Rookie of the Year on the Vegas books.
Yep.
And he hit 188, couldn't hit left-handers, and had a back so bad that he only gave you, I don't even know, like a month and a half of the whole season? So that hurt. Wyatt Langford was supposed to be way better than this. Now, I'm not saying that he won't be later in life. You can look at, and I know this is way too high of praise, and he probably won't be. Maybe he ends up having a Bobby Witt path, that Bobby Witt Jr. was not, his rookie year was just okay. His last year, he was pretty good, and now this year, he's one of the five best players in all of baseball. But they didn't give Wyatt Langford this, and he earned it in spring training. I don't want to say give, but they didn't think at this point he'd have seven home runs and 17 doubles. Like, that was not what they thought he was going to be getting close to the end of the month of August. They thought at this point he'd have 15 to 20 home runs at least, and he would have 25 to 30 doubles, and he doesn't. And that hurts. So your two Rookie of the Year candidates, Wyatt Langford can maybe get hot in the month of September and put himself back on the board, but he's not going to finish top three in Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And Evan Carter, obviously, it was as disappointing as can be. And I love Evan Carter. I still have a lot of hope for Evan Carter and a lot of hope for Wyatt Langford. But your two Rookie of the Year candidates that they thought would be contribute tremendously to this offense being a top five offense didn't really contribute much.
Now, to go along with that, I have a bit of audio that I want to play for you, if that's okay. Chris Young was on with the G-Bag Nation yesterday. One thing I love about Bruce Bochy and Chris Young is I feel like, for the most part, they're honest. I realize there's some things that, like, maybe we have to fudge just a little bit. But let's go to cut number 21. This is Chris Young talking about the standings and how he looks at the last 6 weeks of the season.
You know, I really can't get caught up in it because the standings are the standings. It is what it is. What I want to see us is go out and play winning baseball from here on out. I want us to go play with passion and energy and grit and fight and determination and F you behind them, because this season's been embarrassing for us. This is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be equally as embarrassed as I am about how we've played.
Let's go ahead and stop it right there. Let me stop it right there, because he finishes up, he's like, I want to see us fight to the finish line, whatever that means.
Yeah, play every day is just one individual game. Let's win today.
But I wanted to focus in on that particular part that Jerry Jones would no doubt be displeased if Corey asked him about. But Chris Young said, this is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be as equally embarrassed as I am about how we played. That is
Are you embarrassed?
Strong statement right there.
Chris Young says yes, he can admit it.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I love Chris Young's answer because he's speaking from his heart. Chris Young isn't a salesman. He wasn't born to be a salesman.
Yeah.
Jerry was born to be a salesman. He wasn't born to be a general manager of a football team. He has, honestly, very little clue on how to do that. So Jerry's always selling. So that's always a tough question. Corey, you asked a legitimate question on how bad they were playing, how bad they were going at that moment. But Jerry doesn't see it as Chris Young. Chris Young's a former player, and he's now a general manager. He sees everything through the lens of being a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry sees everything as being through the lens of a salesman. And you would never, as a salesman, say, I'm embarrassed about my product.
Sure.
You always have to say the product is the greatest product you've ever seen. And so he's always coming from a salesman perspective. He's never coming from a player or general manager's perspective.
That's true.
Okay. He has nothing else to add. And I don't know. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's stick with another question for Chris Young. Cut number 15. How he feels, because a lot of people are pouring in with this. What about the contract? What about the contract? Cut number 15, Chris Young on how he feels about his contract.
Well, as you guys know, I'm not one that likes attention. And so, it just leads to a lot of questions. But beyond that, on the job at hand, I'm focused on getting this team right. I believe in the group we have. And this has been a disappointing season, but I'm focused on what we need to do moving forward and how we make that happen. And the rest of it will fall into place and take care of itself.
Now, do you believe that the rest of it will fall into place and take care of itself?
I think Chris Young has options to do whatever he wants.
If
it fell through.
Agree.
So I think he's very comfortable going, yeah, I want to be here. I want to build this as a champion and be here for the next 50 years as whatever and run this thing, make a dynasty out of it. And that's ultimately what we as fans want. Build a dynasty. But I think he's very comfortable knowing that he could go be the commissioner if he wanted to of the league.
That's what USA wrote about him 5 years ago. About 2018, 2019, there was an article, could the next commissioner of baseball be Chris Young?
Yeah.
This was obviously before he had any connection with the Texas Rangers and their front office. And I actually spoke to Chris about this, and Chris like, no, that is not happening. And we didn't get into further discussion about it, but he was like, I don't want to talk about it because that ain't happening. First of all, the owners would never hire a former player to be the commissioner of baseball. Like, at no point ever would they ever hire a former player to represent the owners. But that's how high up people thought of him and the things he can do. I think I'm going to spin this a little bit. I think it's good that he's not under contract next year.
Oh.
I think now.
Jerry Jones approach.
Ray Davis has to sell to Chris why to stay.
Ooh.
Interesting. Does he have to do the same for Boch? I know Boch still has another year.
Yeah, now Boch has another year on his contract. Yeah. But I think when Bochy and Chris Young and Ray Davis and maybe some other people in the organization sit down for their end of the year discussion, I think now it's like,
this is a bigger topic.
Yeah, it is but I'm like, I don't know. I think that it's not the worst thing in the world for CY to say, sell me on staying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're paid very handsomly. And I don't think that matters. I don't think that's the big deal to Chris Young.
I think he can argue, I can get paid this handsomly somewhere else.
He played 10-plus years in the major leagues.
And I won a World Series for a franchise that never won jack ass.
Some people get that, though, and they're like, well, if I can run a bad team for the next 10 years if I'm paid well. And I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah. Did that answer sound like he's just willing to I have no clue what he makes, to be honest. I'm going to guess $3 million. It's all a guess. I have no clue what he makes. He doesn't need $3 million a year if it's going to be a rebuilding project with a very small budget. I don't think he does. Maybe he does. I don't know that well. But Chris might be like, you guys sell me on a 3-year extension. Like, why? Tell me what I'm signing up for 3 more years.
Yeah, because when I signed up originally, it was you wanted a World Series. And you want me to build a World Series contender.
Like, you were tired of rebuilding. It wasn't working at all. Youth was not happening. And so, like,
so you think this time he'll be like, and let's say we do become a contender or win the World Series. What will you do after that?
Yeah.
Because last time, you're just like,
put it on the board for tomorrow if you want, or maybe later in the year. Yeah. The discussion between Ray Davis, Chris Young, and Bruce Bochy coming up. I think we're going to learn a lot. It might be premature to have it as we get into Baseball Nuggets, because I need to know August 25th through August 30th, what are they going to do with the pending free agents on this team?
Somebody said, how's that good for us? And I think it's good because then you at least have a vision for what you're trying to accomplish.
I agree with that. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it is time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
They do have great fans, I saw on Sunday. Ooh. Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for some Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Okay, Baseball Nuggets. I didn't get to this yesterday. Our guy Barry Fish pushed me towards Football Nuggets, and look, just so everybody knows, so they don't leave us, we're down to 398. I'm looking at the YouTube right now. At 11 o'clock, will be Mickey Spagnola.
That's right.
Talking football.
That's right.
At 11:42,
Football.
Or what are we doing?
12 o'clock's got football coming on.
Are you kidding me? So after this, so just deal with it. So this is going to be fun. Guys, I'm not going to break down the at-bats yesterday or anything like this. I'm going to break down what I passed off yesterday. And that is Sunday after the Ranger game, I got home and I turned on MLB Network. And they had on Oakland hosting San Francisco. So the Athletics and Giants. And man, that environment was tremendous. Those fans were going nuts. Now, I get it. It's a crosstown rival. It's kind of their Astros Rangers situation. But it made me go, gosh, there are a lot of people who really care about the Oakland Athletics and want to cheer them on. They just don't want to cheer on a team that's going to spend $40 million on a 26-man roster and lose 90 to 100 games on a consistent basis. They want to watch great baseball, but they have a horrible stadium, and they just have wanted a new stadium. And they've wanted a team where, yes, they've won the division quite a bit from whatever. Let's say, I don't know, what year did they become a budget team? I'm going to guess like 1996. Kind of as it all died, as the Maguire, Canseco, Ricky Henderson situation is dying, which is probably before 95, 96. Because if you look at it, we know that the Rangers got in 93. They get Jose Canseco. Do I have my year right? 93?
Yes.
And Ricky Henderson is on the Toronto Blue Jays when they win their second title in 1993. So I know that Ricky had left the Oakland Athletics too by the time that they had gone to the World Series 88 through 90. So I'm looking at
92,
it and going,
yeah.
So I'm looking at it and going, all right, so they become somewhat budgety.
Yeah.
In the mid-90s and have become one of the lowest-paying teams since, let's say, 2000 easily. Like, we are bottom five at all times, no matter what.
I was always scared of them as a kid. Always.
Was it based off of Maguire, Canseco?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, because to me, like,
scared
that was...
Scared of them hitting or their giant arms would crush your head into
oblivion? When they would do the Bash Brothers thing in the dugout after they just hit two home runs in a row, you'd be like, good God.
Here's another question, and it'll even go into my next nugget. When you were a kid, what team did you want to see the Rangers? Like, if your mom or your dad or whoever got you tickets to a Rangers game at Arlington Stadium or the new ballpark?
Mariners.
Okay.
Just Griffey. I wanted to see Griffey.
Was it just Griffey, or was there a Randy Johnson A-Rod situation?
No, I think A-Rod was too... I guess it wasn't that much further out. It was Griffey, because like he was the face of the game.
Yeah.
At least to me. I think that feels accurate, but people might disagree.
It was the A's, and it was that Bash Brothers poster where Maguire and Canseco are sitting on the hood of a car, and they have these gigantic bats, and they're wearing suits, and Jose Canseco's sleeves were ripped off and everything, and I was like... Like, I just remember being at the card shop and seeing that poster and being like, yeah, that's what I think of whenever I... Because when I would see them on TV, they would just be crushing. I'd be like, yeah, they're the ones right now.
Yeah, to me, Oakland felt like such a special game to go to. Now, I will say this as a kid. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for Cal Ripken Jr. Our youngest child is named Cal off of Cal Ripken Jr. So, Baltimore was not a great team when I was a kid. I get they won the second year, Cal Ripken. I was 5 years old when that happened. So, you get to the 80s, they're horrible, actually. But I just remember getting to see Cal Ripken Jr. in person. Like, I forget that as an adult. And maybe kids aren't the same as when we were kids. But, man, my dad got zillions of tickets. When the Minnesota came in town, we always got to go. Dick Such was their pitching coach, and he'd always give... my dad tickets because he was one of the coaches when my dad was on the Twins. I know, funny name, but...
I was trying to decide if I could have a companion name, but I was like, that might get us in trouble.
Yeah, but I always got to see Kirby Puckett, Kent Herbeck. Like, the Twins
Kirby
were my
Puckett
second favorite
one, yeah.
team because my dad was a Minnesota Twin. And so, but I just remember as a kid, that was such a big thing on who they were playing and who the stars on the other team were. And I don't know, when kids go to a game today, obviously there are no stars on Pittsburgh besides Paul Skeens, and he's not pitching today. Has he already been scratched for tomorrow?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, he's like, I heard that they were maybe pushing him back to Thursday.
Because he's looked human.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Pittsburgh.
Okay, so this goes into my next baseball nugget based off of Oakland and just like, man, they have great fans. And they're not going to have a team anymore. They're moving to Sacramento. I don't even like 50-50. They're moving to Vegas. They won't break ground. Like the city of Vegas will not come to a conclusion on actually having a major until they actually break ground. Once you break ground and you start building a $1 billion stadium or close to, it's over. You're getting the team. Like you've got,
but the space they've got it penciled in.
It doesn't make sense.
Small.
But that's why I'm like, I'm not sure if they're actually ever going to be the Vegas Athletics. Now I go to Paul Skeens. I know he's not pitching. Well, I shouldn't say I know. I need to go check because I'm pretty sure he wasn't. But then there's like, hey, maybe he is pitching Wednesday for the day game, which would be awesome if we're there tomorrow. We are going to be there tomorrow. It'd just be awesome if Paul Skeens was actually going to pitch tomorrow, which I don't think he will. It brings me back.
He's not listed on ESPN.
Yeah, so I think they've pushed him to the next game, so he won't pitch in this series.
Yeah, they have him on Skeens.
By the way,
on Thursday,
Casey Donahue took a picture with him yesterday. And his family, and Paul Skeens, like Casey Donahue, he's not a big guy, but he's not a super small guy. Man, Skeens looks huge in that picture. Like it looks like Shaquille O'Neal taking a picture. And I know he's not. I know he's not Shaq size, but like baseball wise, he looks freaking huge.
Baseball players are small. For the most part, really are.
Yeah, I don't know. Like maybe he's 6'6". I don't know. He might be listed as 6'4". But it goes to Paul Skeens, and there's two people that were Paul Skeens in our Metroplex. And I don't think people recognize this, especially let's just say you're younger. I don't know, like maybe
Todd Van Poppel.
You named one. Who's the other Paul Skeens in our lifetime that grew up here?
Kerry Wood?
Yep, those are the two. We've actually had two Paul Skeens here in the Metroplex.
Todd Van Poppel, and it might have been partially because of my age as well. He had mythical status. I bought like a million of those Upper Deck cards because I thought there was no way that Major League Baseball could handle what he was going to bring to the table.
Yeah, so they were naming people yesterday on the air, Dave Valley, Dave Raymond, and they were naming Steven Strasburg, and they were naming a few other people. But I'm like, dude, we had two in our Metroplex that were as big, and I'm going to tell you, if not bigger than Paul Skeens, and that was in 1990 or 91 was Todd Van Poppel out of Arlington Martin. He was the first ever millionaire. He was the first ever. Because
you had to sign him.
He's the first ever person to get $1 million.
I want that as a drop.
There were more millionaires.
He was the first ever millionaire in your face, Rockefeller.
But he was the first ever player for baseball to get $1 million out of the draft because people passed on him. He would have been the number one overall pick, but it was like, he's going to UT. There's nothing you can do to get him to. And then the Oakland, out of all the teams, putting it all together, 1991. What team came up with $1 million for the first time in the history
Oakland
of the draft?
A's.
The Oakland A's. And then about 5 years later, like, we have no money the rest of our franchise.
Oh, no. That ruined it all.
And then there's Kerry Wood out of Grand Prairie in 1995. He was the next. And then 3 years later, and I watched this documentary, 3 years later, he strikes out 20 people as a 20-year-old. And at the time, the Houston Astros were 20-11. They were considered a World Series contender, a team that could win the National League and possibly win it all, like knock off the Braves. They were a studly team. And he strikes out 20 at 20 years old. And Kerry Wood, I don't think he says he regrets it. It's the greatest game of his life. It might be, a lot of people consider that the greatest game in the history of baseball for a pitcher. Like a perfect game does not.
Wow.
Because there's only one base runner, and it was, in today's game, it's 100% a hit. Back then, they're like, it could have been an error. It was a soft ground ball that the third baseman touched but didn't make a play on. That was the only base runner of the game. He didn't walk anybody, so he faced
one over the minimum.
Yeah, it might have been two because I know that the last out was Derek Bell.
Okay.
And Biggio grounded out. So maybe there was one other guy, but he didn't walk anybody and he only gave up one hit. So the first pitch of the game, by the way, he threw about 100 miles an hour and the catcher missed it and went right off the catcher. It went off the mask of the umpire. And then from that point on. But anyways, Kerry Wood said in that game, and I just wonder this about Paul Skeens, because Paul Skeens might end up being Todd Van Poppel. Sure. He might end up being Kerry Wood. Sure. Like, that's the tough part. By the way, most people will tell you that there's no difference between him and Ben McDonald out of LSU either. And Ben McDonald threw a shutout, a complete game shutout, his first game in the major leagues for the Baltimore Orioles, and he was the number one. And I'm not saying I hope that Paul Skenes ends up being more Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer or whatever, but you never know. There's plenty of Paul Skenes that have come before Paul Skenes. And Kerry Wood came on the scene and struck out 20, and he kind of said in this documentary, like, that might have been the worst thing for me. Because then he was always chasing that, and no matter what he did, if he went out there and threw 7 innings and struck out 13 and gave up 3 runs in 7 innings, they're like, yeah, but it wasn't 20 Ks in a shutout. So it was always him chasing it and always people like, well, he struck out 10 today, but it's not 20.
And if you weren't familiar with the time, it really looked like Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood were going to lead the Cubs to utter domination of the league.
Yeah, especially when you got to 03 and you're
for
like, they're the best team.
15 years.
Yes,
probably. Yeah, you just expected they were going to be Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson together. Yep. You know, like,
yep. And they just could never stay healthy and it just didn't work out. But Kerry Wood ended up having a nice career. But
sure.
When you're, if you say Paul Skenes today is going to win about 100 games and put up a 3.5 ERA in his career, you'd be like, well, that's about the biggest disappointment I've ever heard in my life for a player.
And see, I'm not going to go that far, but I kind of think about that in terms of, and I'm not saying it's fair, that's kind of what I think about in terms of Yu Darvish. Because the way Yu Darvish was described and the way you saw glimpses of him the first couple of years, I was like, he's going to be unbelievable forever and win 3 Cy Youngs.
And he's having a really good career, but it's disappointing to what he was built up. And it's not fair to Yu Darvish, but he was built up to be going to be a 3-time Cy Young winner and an easy Hall of Famer.
With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's go out to Oxnard to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.